Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Over and over again, we've been saying about courage, that the Lord is speaking to us about courage, not because we're a bunch of scaredy cats and, you know, we need a man up or woman up here. Actually, we've felt as a community that the Lord has been speaking to us about courage because we've been faithful. We've been faithful with what he's given us, and then now he's giving us more. Because when you're faithful, one of the things the Lord does is he gives you more, not less. And for that more that we are encountering and facing as a community, we are going to need courage. And you heard that in these guys' stories. They were faithful with a little, then they got a lot more, which is exciting. I'm going to touch just really briefly on a passage of Scripture that's been precious to us as a church over the years, and that is Exodus chapter 33. We're going to see Moses. We've been journeying a good bit here with Moses. It's Moses interceding for himself and for his people with the Lord, that the Lord would go with them, that they would always have the presence of the Lord with them, and they would continue to be a people of the presence. Throughout this sermon series, we've said that courage is found in obedience and purity. It's found in community together, and you saw that, you know, who's on whose team here, and they worked as a team, and you saw they got courage from that. Courage is something that is formed in us. Courage is usually something right in front of us, not that thing that 10 years from now will have to be stand up and have a lot of courage. Courage is usually right in front of us, and we've always said that if you want to live a life of courage, that will always be challenge, and you even heard some of the challenge there, and no doubt you've tasted some of the challenge in your own life. And then, of course, we've always said that courage is found for us in the presence of God and encounter with him, and that's what we're going to see today. And the question for us is, will we continue to be a people who have courage to contend for the presence of God for ourselves, for our families, for our church family, for our city, and even beyond? And will we find courage as we live lives focused on encounter with the living God? So we find courage in the presence. One of the things you need to know about God is he is always moved towards his creation. He's always moved to presence himself with his creation. From the Garden of Eden all the way to the cross of Jesus and now today, he's always been making himself known to his people. It's never been clearer than in the sending of Jesus, his son. God takes on flesh and dwells personally with his people. Colossians chapter 2, for in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. When God wants to deliver and save his people from sin and death and brokenness and shame, he dwells among us, becomes like us. The beautiful first chapter of John's gospel, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He not only dwells amongst us, he not only becomes like us, but he goes to the cross for us. And now Jesus is fully present to us, his people, by the power of his Holy Spirit, inviting us into freedom, hope, security, and purpose, and a life lived in friendship and love with him now and forever. As I was planning this out, I was just thinking about it, and I felt that there might be somebody here who isn't following Jesus or is thinking about following Jesus or struggling with following Jesus. And the one thing I would love to say to you is that we want you to follow Jesus and to know him deeply, but we're not inviting you to follow a belief system alone or like believe a set of rules. We're wanting to introduce you to the living Jesus, who is a person, who's a savior you can know, that loves you far more than you can imagine, has healing and wholeness for you, died for you, and is offering you right now a deep transformation, love, and friendship in his presence. And that's the invitation. It's not believe all this stuff and that's it. It's not like a mental exercise alone. It's actually encountering the presence of the risen Jesus who loves you beyond what you can know. And if you're interested in that, we would love to talk to you about that and pray for you and invite you to follow Jesus. But for all of us today, will we cultivate the courage to contend for his presence in our own lives? And will we pursue lives that are able to receive courage from him in his presence? Let's very, very quickly set the stage. We last saw Moses at the Red Sea, where God delivered his people. And then they move into the wilderness, and they move towards Mount Sinai to worship and enter into an everlasting covenant with God. If you open your Bible to Exodus chapter 32 and you read it, you hear, I'm going to paraphrase it or summarize it very, very quickly for you. Moses goes up the mountain to worship and to meet with God, but he's gone so long that the people end up panicking or getting bored or whatever, and they feel like, we're supposed to go into this land, we need gods to worship that will overpower the gods that are in that land, so we need some gods, so I guess we better make some. And so they demand that Aaron, who is Moses' second in command and also happens to be his brother, they demand that Aaron makes idols of gods that they can worship. And stupidly, and he shows a profound lack of courage, he gives in and makes a golden calf from the people's jewelry. And then they gather around and they worship. And it's such a crazy, chaotic thing that Moses is coming down the mountain and his assistant Joshua says, I hear the sound of battle. That's a party. If it sounds like a battle, and Moses is like, nope, I know what this is, and down he comes, finds them there, I'll cut a long story short, God's not pleased, in fact, he's so not pleased that he ends up wanting to kill them all and take Moses and start over and build a people for himself, but Moses intercedes, and the Lord, of course, relents, but tells Moses something important. And that is, I'm going to give you the land. I swore to do it. I really love you, so I'm going to do it, but I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. And that's where we pick it up in Exodus chapter 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I'll send an angel before you, and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. So the Lord honors Moses' intercessions, and he honors his own promises, his covenant promises, and that he will give them the promised land. He'll even send his angel to drive out those who oppose Yahweh and Yahweh's people, but he won't be going with them. And at first glance, this is what they want. They want the land, they want to be safe, they want to have blessings, and God will just sort everything. You'll get the land, you'll get what was promised you, you'll have it. And I'll even send an angel to do all the work for you, and that's it. And isn't that what we think we want too? We want ease and we want comfort. None of this shaping of our character nonsense by having to reach for courage. You know, if God would just do this, and if God would just do that, and just sort some problems, it would be great. But the people don't think it's great, actually. Their reaction to not having the presence of God with them is to mourn. I don't mean, you know, just shed a little tear. They mourn. And the people heard these distressing words, they begin to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. No, take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. You see something here that's symbolic of a necessary posture before the Lord, and in my opinion, a key to having his presence with us, and that is humility. Where we drop our demands, we have a posture change. Theirs was an enforced humility. He said, take off your ornaments, take off your party clothes. You know, busted kind of thing. Ours can be a voluntary humility as we seek to live life with Jesus. We can take our ornaments off, the things we hide behind, the things we prop ourselves up with. and humbly acknowledge our need of Jesus and his life and his presence. And we can, as terrifying as this might be, we can let our hunger for more of God be a catalyst to his presence. It just wasn't an option for Moses or the people not to have God's presence with them. They just couldn't even imagine it. What about for us? Or do we do what the children of Israel did in a moment of madness, which is manufacture a substitute for God's presence? Idols. Have we ever made an idol or worshipped an idol because we couldn't wait? Or we just wouldn't adjust our lives to encounter formation from Jesus and be able to carry and receive his presence and the courage that comes from that? Verse 7 through 11 just give us this little interlude, this picture of Moses' presence-focused relationship and actually how it affected the community. Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. God's presence was profoundly with Moses. And this is like an interlude to show you what it was like and how the people reacted to it. When Moses goes to the tent of meeting, God's presence descends on it and rests over it. And then the people then would respond to recognizing that God is with us. God's with Moses, but he's with us. And they would stand at the entrance of their tent, and then they would worship. The people's response to the presence of God in their midst is worship, and it still is for us today. You know, the Vineyard over the years became known for worship and recordings and things like that, and that's all great, and that's all true. It was great and still is great, and worship is a big part of who we are. But the real true story of how that all came about was driven by a relentless pursuit of the presence of God. And one of the byproducts of our pursuit of the presence is worship. When God's presence comes, one of our spontaneous and intentional, all at the same time, reactions is to worship. If we're a presence people, we have to worship. If you're looking for God's presence this morning, and you want to see that grow in your own life, one of the things I would strongly encourage you to do is to grow and develop in worship. That's my story. I'm not one of these people that just would be a natural worshiper. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I'm not musical at all. Joke, funny. There you go. There you go. Warming up. I feel like I've got an interpreter here. But I had to discipline myself to be present for worship because I want to be present to Jesus. And maybe if that's you, you're just not a natural worshiper. What would this Advent look like if you engaged in a spiritual discipline of being fully present to God in worship and trying and training in that? Joshua never left the presence. Joshua will go on to lead Israel, but Joshua at this point is he's a young leader. He's Moses' assistant. And again, as I was preparing this, I felt like there was a good number of us who we're not in the 18 to 30s group anymore. We're in fact in whatever the next group is. And you, when that passage is read out, when you look at it right now, you remember the old you when you were young. And when you were young, you were passionate in your youth, and particularly in worship, and you had this commitment to the presence of Jesus, and you had this these seasons. Where, you know, maybe in the vernacular we would say you were on fire or en fuego if we were in Spain, right? And I think the word from the Lord for you, you need to weigh and test this for you, but I think the Lord is speaking to you that you need to go back to the tent of meeting and not leave it. One of his roles in not leaving the tent of meeting was to guard it, because the presence of the Lord was such a holy and precious, powerful thing for the people. And there's a movement for you towards the presence and also guarding the presence of God in your life and returning to the tent of meeting and cultivating that this Advent. So I would encourage you to come home, to have courage to contend again for the presence of God in your life, in your family, in your home, in your marriage, in your ministry, and whatever else that the Lord has given you. It's time to come back to the tent of meeting. And I'm probably going to get in trouble for this part, but I just feel like it's time to stop blaming other people. It's time to stop blaming the worship bands and the beats per minute. And it's time to stop blaming other people and take responsibility for our own cultivation of a life in the presence of Jesus. So it's time to go back to the tent of meeting. The good news is the gates are wide open and the Lord is waiting for you there. Then I'm not going either. If you're not going, I'm not going either. And Moses begins to courageously intercede with God for himself and the people. Okay. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Notice who Moses begins to contend for first: himself. His first cry here is, I need your presence. I need it. Never mind all these people. I need it. Don't send me up without your presence. He roots it in his calling, like, you've told me to lead your people. I need your presence. And he also roots it in past experience. You said you call me by name, so I need you to be with me now. Not just then, I need you now. And he knows he can't complete his assignment without it. He takes courage and contends for God's presence. Will we? Courage is found in God's presence, but it takes courage to seek his presence. And Moses did that, and will we. Whatever you're contending for right now in your life, you can't do it without his presence. So are we cultivating that? Are we holding out for it for us? It is, again, about to be Christmas when we can already feel the chaos and the hectic and all that stuff. And I would love to invite you and actually ask you, would you take some reflection time and make some courageous decisions to personally, this Advent, prioritize your time in the presence of Jesus? Do not surrender to the chaos of the materialistic Christmas season. Like, celebrate, have fun. Like, I know it's been heavy, right? But, and it's kind of grinchy, but, you know. So I'm not saying don't have fun. I'm just saying don't be overwhelmed by what other people try and make Christmas. Take some reflection time and make some courageous decisions that you are not going to go up into this Advent season without the presence of Jesus and some intention around that. And if you don't know how, we have resources, we have courses to help. Come talk to us, talk to your life group leaders. We want to pray for you this morning. But one key to not being overwhelmed at any time, but certainly at Christmas time, is to take courage and intention and to seek the presence of Jesus for you. The Lord tells Moses, "Do you know what, Moses? My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Okay? I believe the Lord is speaking something similar to us, that he is actually with us in what we're contending for. Will you invite him into that? I'll go with you. But what about all of us? Then Moses said to them, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" So Moses pushes it even further, and he asks for God's presence to be with all of them, not just him. So he contends for the people's experience of the presence of God, and it's again a non-negotiable. The people couldn't be the people of God until God was with them and dwelt with them. What sets the people of God apart then and now, what makes us who we are, is that God is with us. The presence of God transforms us, it marks us, it releases us to be the people of God without fear. And that's what Moses knows, and that's what we need to know. The people need their God with them to love and worship, to receive his love and mercy and his favor, to obey him, to serve him, to be under his protection, and to walk in the courage that he gives, and so do we. With God, we can face anything. Without him, it isn't going to work that well. Courage is found in his presence. We don't want to go unless you're going with us. And we as a church community over the years have been on that journey. We haven't done it perfectly, but over the years we have valued and we've sought and we've contended and we've fought for the presence of God with us in our lives, in our workplaces, in our families, and of course as a church family. And we have found courage in his presence. We found healing in his presence. We've of course found salvation in his name. We found deliverance. We found strong confidence and mercy and breakthrough. And I'm incredibly proud to be part of a church that contends for the presence of God in their lives and the lives of the whole community. But I also want to tell you that it's time for another reach in that area. It's time to contend again. It's time to go more. And we can't just reach for courage. We need to remember to contend for the presence. God grants Moses' request. I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. He says yes. But he says yes because of Moses, not because of the people. He says, I'll go with the people, but I'll go with the people because of you. And that tells me something. That tells me we can contend for the presence of God in our church, in our life groups, in our families, in our city, on behalf of other people. We can contend for others. What happens in your friendship with Jesus can really impact others. That's why this is such a high-stakes endeavor. That's why us saying, it just doesn't really matter what I do. I'm just going to drift. I'm going to be lost in isolation. I'm just going to... Well, it matters because what God does with you can really impact the rest of us. We need you encountering the presence of Jesus for you. We received courage this morning because that team shared about how they reached for courage and reached for more of God. And so what if we can contend, not just for us, but our families, friends, workplaces, church, city, neighborhood, island, and nations? Will we have the courage to pursue God and contend for others? What might he do for others because he knows your name? So if you have children who are far from the Lord right now, if you have friends, family members that you just dearly want to encounter the presence of Jesus, if you look out across our city and you think, Lord, would you move? Would you consider building a life of intercession and presence that cries out on behalf? And would you take courage, hope, and faith in the reality that what might God do because he knows your name? So why don't we begin asking him? Lastly, the scene ends with Moses doing something that growing up in church I was told we should never do. He asks for a sign and an encounter confirming that all God was doing was real. Moses' response is, well, then show me your glory. And what he means is, if this is all true, if you are going with me, I want to see your glory. And the Lord grants his request. Moses needs to encounter the living God to know he'll be with him. And I find this fascinating. I was always told never to push God for anything, certainly something subjective, like an experience. That, you know, we're only really holy unless we're not enjoying ourselves and we're grinning and bearing it, right? And God would love us more, you know, if we didn't ask him for anything. People are sort of laughing because it's true, right? What if, actually, though, we were made for intimacy and proximity and favor and blessing and encounters where we know that we know that we know that we know that we're called, that we are heard by God, that we've been spoken to by God and endorsed by God? I've had a handful of those experiences in my life, and I'm praying for more, and I'm praying even harder for more for you. Moses isn't looking for parlor tricks or the next great conference. Just a great time in the presence of the Lord. He's looking for endorsement. He's looking for confirmation as he's about to lead a nation. What do you need endorsement and confirmation for? And where do you need God to speak to you? And what might happen if you set aside space and time in your life and offered it up to him that he might speak to you and encounter you? I want to close by just praying for you. So if you want more of God and more of his presence, and if you even want him, again, not parlor tricks and goofball stuff, but if you want an encounter with the living God for endorsement and confirmation, blessing, then I want to invite you to stand. Why don't we all stand? And if you want it, you can just, you know, raise the hand in your heart. How about that? And hold out your hands or something like that. Lord, show us your glory. I just pray for us as a people that we would continue to contend for your presence. And I pray for endorsement and confirmation as these people step out in courage. I pray that out of your goodness, wisdom, mercy, and care, and in ways just all around the room, and then in the hours and days and weeks to come, Lord, would you turn up in our dreams? Would you turn up in circumstances that we can only conclude that you're speaking to us? Lord, would you increase the temperature? What you told Moses was that you would cause all your goodness to pass in front of him. Would you let your goodness pass in front of us now and the days and weeks to come? That we might know that we're called, that we might know that we're endorsed. So as these men and women step out in courage, would you endorse it? And would you draw near? We believe we're made for intimacy, presence, and proximity. And would you show up in all different types of circumstances for these men and women? And would you change us? Would you change our community? Would you change our city because of it? We courageously step out and say, Lord, we're following you. We want you. Would you meet with us? Would you issue callings and assignments now in Jesus' name? We need to finish, but I want to invite the prayer ministry team up here. If you want to respond, if you want to meet Jesus for the first time, begin following him, we would love to pray for you. If you have a physical need, if you want prayer for healing, I know some of you have injuries and illnesses, we want to pray for you. If you want prophetic ministry, that team is on that side of the hall. Let's not miss a moment to connect with Jesus. If you want someone to stand and pray with you because you're longing to meet with the living God and inquire of him, then we want to pray with you. I just feel like the Lord has something for us, and some of that is actually taking a step to get ministry. So God bless you and have a great rest of your weekend. There is tea and coffee if that's what you need to do. Don't forget to collect your children. But if you want prophetic ministry or prayer ministry and respond to anything today, even just an impetus to step out in courage, come on up and do that now. God bless you and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.